program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, hey, welcome back. Post-Thanksgiving. Yes, time to get back in the gym and start training hard again. Make up for all of the bad food that I ate over the holiday. And we'll talk more about that perhaps later. We got a great show planned for you today. This was actually a suggestion on my Facebook that we should do a show about neck training, and who better to have on the show to talk about neck training other than Brooks Kubik. He'll be talking to us during the first hour. During the second hour, we'll have Randy Roach on talking about the second volume of Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors. It outdid the first volume. Those of you who read the first volume, you're going to love this. Randy is by far one of the greatest writers I've ever met. He does not write the way he speaks, which always amazes me about writers. Brooks is pretty much the same way as well. How you doing, Brooks?
Hey, doing well, Carl.
Now, first of all, before we get started, it would be remiss of us to not acknowledge the passing of a great Olympic lifter, a man who, whenever they show Olympic lifters, they usually show an old excerpt or video or snapshot of Vasily Alexeyev, who passed away during the Thanksgiving holiday at the very, very young age of 69 years old.
Young age, unfortunately, to pass away. Not really that young of an age for a super heavyweight weightlifter. You know, the longevity of really, really heavy athletes, unfortunately, is not that great. It's a shame, but you know, when you're carrying around
300 plus pounds,
yeah, that really, really huge size. I mean, just most of them just have not been with us that long, and that goes back to, you know, Lewis Sear, who died, I think, in his 40s, 5'8", 350 to 400 pounds.
Right.
Famous old-time strongman, and, you know, it continues up. Doug Hepburn had a fairly long life. Paul Anderson died at a relatively young age. You know, we've just lost a lot of them. It's being that big is tough on the body.
Well, you know what else, too? Just because you can clean and press 500 pounds overhead, clearly this is an example of great strength. But just like, you know, anyone who's ever owned a race car knows that you're constantly rebuilding it because the power that it produces ends up mutilating and twisting everything in the drivetrain and so on. And the reason I use that as an analogy, he was a great strongman. There's no doubt about it. One of the greatest Olympic lifters of our time. But the amount of fat that he carried may or may not have been necessary for him to accomplish his goals. But he must have had visceral fat, and we all know about visceral fat. We understand that visceral fat is dangerous. It encroaches on the organs. It acts like a gland of its own. It produces inflammatory cytokines and things that we don't want in our body. And just because he was able to push press 500 pounds overhead does not allow him to escape the fact that carrying that visceral fat will destroy your body.
Well, you know, it's something to very much be aware of, and you know, what we see in physical training is we see a lot of guys who start out when they're young, they're teenagers, they're skinny, and they want to, you know, get big, and that's capital G, capital E, capital T, capital B, capital I, capital G, get big, and they'll do anything to get big, and you know, they train hard, they, you know, take in tons of calories, tons of protein. They start gaining weight. They normalize their body weight, and then they start getting bigger than normal, and then much bigger than normal, and then really big, and they're huge. And
well, and then when they get out of the sport, They remain huge. That's another issue. A lot of these guys, when they get out of the sport, it's not like they go, okay, I need to finally trim down. I'm not doing what I used to do. It's time for me to focus on my health. A lot of these guys continue to get bigger and bigger, in fact, faster, because now they're not even training anymore, but they're still eating like they used to.
Right, and that's true of large athletes in virtually any sport. Football, for example. You know, there are a lot of former football players who, by the time they're in their 40s, are in really poor shape because they've not been training, but they're still eating and they're really heavy, and you know, it takes a toll on you. The problem that I see in our sport, you have a psychological aspect, which is you start out skinny and you're desperate to get big. And then later in life, when you're big, you need to change your mindset.
Yeah.
You need to say, I don't need to weigh this much anymore at age 40 or 45 or 50 or 60. It's healthier for me to weigh less and be hard and lean and muscular and strong and in really good condition. And I'm going to train to do that, and I'm going to diet to do that, or if you don't like the term diet, I'm going to follow a nutritional program that gets me there.
Right.
And that's a switch that's really important, because that get big at all costs is one thing when you're 15, but when you're 55, it's a different thing. And you know, that's something people really need to think about, and perhaps in some cases do a little bit of soul searching on.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. And with that being said, I want to talk now about the subject at hand. Nothing looks better than a big swollen neck. In fact, I interviewed Brad Leggett the other day, along with Dr. Mark Gordon, about traumatic brain injury, and when I pulled up his NFL pictures, one of the things that I noticed about the guy was he had one of those big bull-like necks, which I bet a lot of football players develop when they're getting banged around anyway. But not all of us even focus on our neck training. First of all, should we? Should we be thinking about training our neck?
Well, absolutely. You know, back in the day, when I was a kid, there was a theory that bodybuilders should not, underline not, bodybuilders should not do any neck training. And sometimes that also translated to should not do any trap training, because it detracted from the size of the shoulders and arms.
Mm.
And so the theory was you want to have a small neck to make the shoulders and arms look bigger and thicker and more massive. Now, you know, of course, there's another approach, which is build your neck, build your traps, build your shoulders bigger, build your arms bigger, and you end up more massive and strong and powerful from head to toe.
Right.
And you don't have to, you know, pursue this illusion created by deliberately keeping your neck as small as possible. So it's really funny. I mean, you know, I'm coming from an era where at one time people deliberately did not train the neck because they wanted it small, which to me is crazy.
Right. Especially when the term pencil neck implies a weakling.
Well, you know, I mentioned to you earlier that you are channeling the ghost of Freddie Blassie.
Okay.
And you're absolutely doing it. You know who Freddie Blassie was?
No, I don't.
Classy Freddie Blassie, old school wrestler from the 40s, 50s, 60s. Became a manager. You can look him up on Wikipedia or Cauliflower Alley, the old-time wrestling website.
Right.
You know, Blassie came up with a term that he used for anybody he didn't like, an opponent or fans, and that was a pencil-necked geek.
I remember that term. I didn't know that he was the one who coined it. That's funny.
Yeah, he coined it. He used it all the time. And they even did a song that was played on Dr. Demento, the song "The Pencil Neck Geek," and you can find it on YouTube or you know, on the net. It's pretty funny, pretty outrageous lyrics. But you know, bottom line is you do not want to be a pencil neck geek.
Right.
Now, people say why? Well, one reason is when you're dressed, when you're wearing clothes, the one thing that people see is your neck, and if they see a strong, powerful, muscular neck, consciously or subconsciously, they think this is a strong, powerful, forceful individual. And, you know, that can be a really good thing. That can be an advantage in business. It can be an advantage in a lot of different situations.
Well, when you think about a bull, right? You think about a bull. the most prominent thing about a bull is his big, thick, swollen neck. In fact, during animal rutting seasons, deer, for instance, during the mating season, they call it the rutting season,
right,
their necks will get big, swollen, and blown up because of the increase in sex hormones that make them want to go out and procreate. So, and it's also said that the neck and the traps have a very, very high amount of androgen receptors in it. So it, one would think that that could translate to a guy who has a big, thick neck and big, swollen traps is more masculine because he carries more of the masculinizing hormones.
That's absolutely true. You've got the term bull neck, and that's, you know, that's underscoring your comments. George F. Jowett, in The Key to Might and Muscle, had a whole chapter about developing what he called a columnar neck, a neck like a massive muscular column.
Right.
And he used the phrase nerve force and nerve energy and life force. And he said, you know, your neck connects your brain to the rest of the body.
Right.
You've got the spinal column, the cervical spine. That's really important, and the more you train it, the more you're going to enhance, the more you're going to increase the nerve force. So he was all about neck training, and if you've ever seen a photo of George F. Jowett, I mean, he had a neck that looked as big as his thighs, just
wow.
Huge.
Okay, so let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want you to first tell us some real-life stories about how a well-trained, strong neck can actually save lives, number one. And then we'll get into the proper way to train your neck. We're talking today with Brooks Kubik. Brooks' new book, Dinosaur Bodyweight Training, is selling out constantly. If you want to try to get a copy, and I have lots of great reviews on the book, you need to go to BrooksKubik, KUBIK.com, to learn more. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0 plus ongoing support on the Blueprint Forum to ensure your success.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
You already know how great the Testo 100 Transdermal Testosterone Boosting Patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testo 100 patch now contains D-aspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA-certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. But now it's even better, bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle-building, fat-burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Just want to remind everybody that Primordial Performance ran a sale during the Thanksgiving holiday. It is still going on today, Monday, November 28th, till midnight tonight. You can get 40% off all of the Andro series products. This is a ridiculous price discount. Andro Drive, instead of being $79.95, is just $47.95. And the list goes on. Go to primordialperformance.com today before midnight and use the coupon code BLACKFRIDAY40. All one word, Black Friday and the number 40. And take advantage of this 40% off all the Andro series products. And get a load of this. $5 shipping on all orders. That's either FedEx Ground or USPS Priority Mail. $5 shipping on all orders. Go to primordialperformance.com today. Okay. We're talking this hour with Brooks Kubik. We're talking about training your neck. Something I just recently started doing again. I used to train my neck quite a lot back in the 2005-2006 period of my life, but for some reason it went by the wayside. Brooks, can a strong neck really save your life? You said that it can. How?
Well, it really can. It's very possible in modern life to be involved in a very serious collision, a crash, car crash. Have you ever been in a car crash?
Yes, I'm sorry to say. A car crash, meaning a car hit me? No. But I have flipped a car in my drunken, drug-crazed teenage years. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you flipped a car. I had a head-on high-impact collision when I was about 19 years old. I got hit by a Thunderbird. Driver fell asleep at the wheel, crossed the line, and hit me right as we were going into a curve.
Wow.
No way to get out of the way. Bang. I was driving a little Pinto. Remember the Pinto?
Yeah, good thing it didn't hit you in the rear.
They used to blow up.
yeah,
those are the ones that if they got hit in the rear, they blew up. This was a head-on collision. Had a seatbelt on. The impact of the collision, I was going about 60 miles an hour, and this guy probably was too. As I said, he was asleep, so I don't know if he hit the brakes or not. I did, but it was so quick, it didn't slow me down much. So we had a real high-impact collision. I almost went right through the windshield, even with a seatbelt on. I remember pushing back against the steering wheel as hard as I could. That didn't stop things because the steering wheel literally just bent in half 90 degrees to the side while I was holding on to it.
Right.
I started to go through the windshield. The belt pulled me back, and I ended up in a car that was about two-thirds of its original size lengthwise, bent in half sideways as though you took a tin can and karate chopped it, an empty tin can.
Right.
Smashed to pieces everywhere. I mean, there were pieces of it just, you know, for 50 feet in every direction, 100 feet in every direction. But I walked out of it. No serious injuries. I had some pieces of glass in my forehead. That was it. And one of the reasons was, as a high school wrestler, I had spent years doing specific neck training, specifically the wrestler's bridge, the wrestling practice itself. Always involved a lot of neck training. We did manual resistance. We did bridging. And the mere act of wrestling is a neck exercise. You know, you do 2 hours of wrestling, and, you know, the guy's always grabbing your head, pushing your head, trying to move your head. You know, you move the head and then you shoot for the legs.
Right.
And you're always resisting that with your, you know, with your neck muscles. So without even really trying to, you're getting a very long, very extensive workout just by wrestling. So I had done that. I'd done lots of heavy weightlifting. And so I had a really, really thick, really, really strong neck. And that may be the reason why we're talking on the phone today.
Really?
Yeah. And that's just me. I have shared that story with readers. You know, I throw it out every once in a while because I want people to be aware of the importance of neck training. And the stories that I get back are amazing. I had a guy who fell off a water tower, landed on his head, neck, shoulders, walked away from it. Had another guy walking across the street, got hit by a speeding car, flipped, and note, he's not in a car, he's walking, gets hit by a car, knocks him up into the air, he does a complete double flip, lands, he's a 220-pound man, lands on his head, neck, and shoulders.
Oh, man.
On a city street. Knocked unconscious, when he comes to, gets up, walks away. Had another guy, shot putter, strength coach, Olympic weightlifter, shot putter when he was in college. Really good. He currently holds a master's record in the shot putt, indoor shot putt.
Right.
Okay, so he's working as an assistant strength coach at a major university out on the West Coast, and he's coaching the shot putt guys. So he's sitting in a chair off to the side, writing some notes. One of the guys throws the shot putt, and you know, shot putt is like a cannonball.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, 16-pound cannonball. Kid gets off a pretty good throw. It probably goes about 52, 54 feet, but it's not quite headed in the right direction.
Right.
In fact, it's so far off course, it hits the strength coach.
Oh, man.
From behind, right between neck, trap, shoulder, upper back area. Knocks him completely unconscious. Doesn't break a thing. Now, the force of that was really literally like, you know, a cannonball. 52-foot shot putt, 16-pound shot putt, hits him out of the blue, no notice, lives through it. Because he had a huge thick neck and huge massive traps.
And you know what? A huge thick neck also acts as a shock, just as a shock absorber in general for a lot of different things. I mean, you get forward hit, rear hit, you know, I mean, it really is important. And we most of us overlook it entirely.
Yeah. And in that regard, the important thing, this is kind of interesting, it's not merely enough to have a strong neck in order to get that that protective factor. You also need a thick neck.
Right.
You need a thick cushion of muscle which acts as a shock absorber if you're ever in a high-impact collision of any sort.
Right.
And, you know, so it's not enough merely to have, a strong neck. You actually want a big, thick neck. So you need to do two things. You need to train for strength, and you also need to train for hypertrophy, for muscle growth. So,
you know, the other thing that one of the reasons I started training my neck back in the day was because after all of my weight loss, because my face was very fat when I was obese, after all of my weight loss, I ended up with some sagging skin underneath my chin and neck. And I thought, you know, if I can get my neck to increase even a couple inches, it would pull that skin and kind of take the slack out of it. And I still believe that. Actually, one of the reasons I just started training my neck again was because I had forgotten that that was a goal of mine at one point in time, and I'm kind of thinking that maybe it'll be kind of like its own little facelift, if you will, you know,
it's a downward facelift,
a neck lift, whatever you want to call it. So that, and that's really why my interest, and you know, they have a couple. I have one of those leather head worn harnesses that has a chain on it.
Right.
That I used to use to train my neck.
Mm-hmm.
I would use it with the pulley machines or with free weights.
Right.
But at one of the gyms I train at now, at LAC, they actually have one of those neck machines that you sit down in and you can push back on it, or you can push, do the right side and left side independently. So I started using that. So what, I mean, what do you think about the machines versus the harness?
I typically am not a big machine guy at all. I much prefer free weights.
Right.
But for neck training, four-way neck machine is pretty good. You know, first of all, you definitely want to train your neck front, back, left, right. And that's really difficult to do with a head strap. You can use a head strap. You can, you know, you can do the motion where you're leaning forward and then going back to work the back of the neck.
Right.
And that works pretty well. But it's difficult to get into a good position where you can work the front of the neck.
Oh, I found that out the hard way because I would strap that thing on and mm-hmm. I would have, you know, some plates on it. And then
right.
I'd have to lay down on a bench
yeah.
and let my neck hang off. And getting into position in and of itself was quite dangerous.
Yeah. What I've always found easier is to use the head strap to work the back of the neck. And for the front of the neck, lie on an exercise bench, put a folded towel on your forehead for padding, and then put a barbell plate on your forehead.
But the problem with that, I've seen guys do that. The problem with that is you inadvertently, and you can't help it, but you inadvertently help the plate by holding it there with your hands.
Well, yeah, you have to hold on to it because if you don't hold on to it, it's going to, you know, slide down your face and break your nose.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to hold on to it. It's not ideal, but I think it's better than using the head strap.
But now, what about the head strap? And this is what I ended up evolving into.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I ended up doing all of my neck work using the head strap and the pulley rack because I was able to naturally train the back of my neck easy enough. I would bring the pulley rack down to the lowest point.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I would kneel down, put the harness on my head, and train the back of my neck. And then I would just turn to the side, basically the same thing, leave the harness on, let the chain shift, if you will, the chain link mm-hmm. shift, and do the left and right. And then I could turn completely around and then shimmy away from the rack, allowing my neck to extend backwards and then pulling it forward, hitting the front of my neck.
Yeah, and you're anticipating me because what I was going to say is that the head strap actually works really well with the pulley, and you can use
yeah.
both low pulley and high pulley.
Yeah. yeah.
I mean, you can figure out a way to do front, back, left, right, and that works really well. The neck machine is almost exactly the same exercise. Four-way neck machine is almost exactly the same exercise, and it's actually easier, quicker, just as effective. Real good training tool. So, you know, I don't often recommend machines, and sometimes I say absolutely don't do them. You know from past shows there are some machines I don't like at all.
Right.
But the four-way neck machine is a pretty good machine. And, you know, remember, if something's difficult to do, if it's awkward, if it's complicated, if it's time-consuming, people aren't going to do it.
Right.
So, you know, if someone can do 1, 2, 3, 4 sets, one set each direction on a four-way neck machine, and they'll do that, and it takes 5 minutes, and they're done, and they'll do it.
Yes, compliance is a big issue.
Compliance is a big issue.
Yeah.
That's important. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break, okay? And
sure.
When we come back, I want to start to talk more about rep schemes. Is heavier better? That's another thing that I've always struggled with. We're talking this hour with Brooks Kubik. You can get a copy of his Dinosaur Bodyweight Training book. Brooks, it's at the brookskubik.com website, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so go to brookskubik.com to learn more about that. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter Urethane Series Power Blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, Power Blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with Power Blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age 4 Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to ageforce.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low, low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Regardless of your goals, longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness, you'll find what you're looking for at uscellwellness.com. USL Wellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formulas are backed by a team of nutrition researchers, healthcare professionals, medical doctors, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at uscellwellness.com. Save 20% off your first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's tests had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Brooks Kubik. Later in the show, Randy Roach will be on. You don't want to miss that. Okay. So, Brooks, do you go dinosaur style with neck? Do you train real heavy? Do you go lighter with higher reps? What do you think?
Well, it depends on your exercises, and it also depends on your level of experience and how much neck training you've been doing. A lot of guys, frankly, go too heavy too soon on neck work. And there are some guys who try to use neck work as sort of a feat of strength. For example, they use a head strap and they try to lift some insane amount of weight with it, more as a strongman feat than anything else. I'm always leery of that. My theory is you better be careful and protect that neck. You've got to pay real close attention to training but not injuring the neck. So I like more of a high-intensity approach for neck training. Low sets. Relatively low sets, reps, minimum of 8 to 10, probably 10 to 15 is better. Slow movement, strict form, no cheating, concentrated effort, a lot of hard work, but not super heavy weights for low reps. Head strap work, I've just described what I like best for head strap work.
Right.
Another thing that works good for head strap work or for a four-way neck machine is pausing in the contracted position.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, there's so many benefits to statics, I'm learning, that people really just overlook. I mean, everything you do with a little extra, with a static hold in some portion of it can actually benefit you.
Yeah, I mean there's lots and lots of benefit to static holds, but the great thing about it for neck training is that it's working the muscles, working the connective tissue, but it's not requiring excessive amounts of weight that may possibly do damage to the cervical spine.
Right.
So that, you know, that contraction becomes a very, very good way to train the neck. And, you know, again, it's simple. You move into the contracted position, pause for a count of two, lower slowly, and repeat, which is a different tempo than a quick bounce, bounce, you know, boom, 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 boom,
right,
which is not what you want with neck training. You know, neck training, it's very limited range of motion anyway. And you know, we talk about calf training, same thing, limited range of motion. If you just bounce up and down, you're not really activating the muscles. So it's much better move into the contracted position, pause, move back, and again, as I said, you know, work slowly. And you know, that'll work you pretty hard. I remember when I was a kid, I was using a Nautilus four-way neck machine. I was probably about 18 years old, 18, 19. I guess it was right around the time of that car crash. And I did a workout where I did one set forward, one set backwards, one set left, one set right to failure, going slow and really holding that contracted position, as I discussed.
Right.
And then I did a set of shrugs on a Nautilus shrug machine, and again, went to failure on that. And that was all I did. That was my whole workout. My neck muscles got so sore that I couldn't talk for a couple days.
Right.
You know, I mean, you know, you can get a heck of a workout with a limited number of sets, relatively high reps, relatively lightweight, but, you know, real intense contraction as you're working the neck. Now, another thing to remember is that your neck and your traps are very much interconnected. So neck training also becomes trap training. And traps, your number one exercise is the shrug. You can do shrugs with a barbell. You can do shrugs with dumbbells. You can do shrugs with a trap bar. Works perfectly for shrugs. And one interesting thing to remember, and not many people know this, is you can do one-arm shrugs or you can do two-arm shrugs. With dumbbells, obviously, you can do a one-arm shrug. You can work the right-hand side for a complete set, then work the left-hand side for a complete set. It's a little bit different training effect than the two-arm variation of the shrug. You know, it lets you do a little bit, you know, interesting things. You can lean a little bit forward, lean a little bit to the side, brace yourself with the non-lifting hand, and work the traps and the upper back and the neck from unusual angles,
right,
by doing that one-arm movement. If you have access to any kind of a trap machine, a hammer strength deadlift machine, for example, that would double as a trap training machine or shrug machine, you can do the same thing, one arm or two arm. And, you know, it just opens the door to all kinds of really interesting training tricks. Another important thing, shrugs, minimum of 5 reps per set on up to 15 or 20.
Okay. And, you know, it's really critical that when you do shrug work with the intention of including your neck in the process, mm-hmm, you really have to focus on when you do the shrug. You may have to lighten up. When you do the shrug, you need to feel the tension in the base of the back of the skull, because that's where the trap muscles go all the way up into the back of the skull. And so sometimes you may even have to artificially emphasize pulling your chin out so that the trap muscles all the way up into the base of the skull can completely contract. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, because even, you know, even deadlifting builds a big neck if you are including your neck in the movement. You have to think about it sometimes.
Well, the deadlift is a tremendous exercise for traps. I'm assuming that, you know, the folks who are listening are doing all of the basic compound exercises that they should be doing. They should be doing pressing. They should be doing rowing. They should be doing pull-ups or pull-downs, depending on their strength level. They should be doing overhead presses. They should be doing deadlifts and or trap bar deadlifts. Okay, that's the basis, or, you know, the basis for everything. And those exercises alone will build a pretty good pair of traps, and they'll also give you some neck development, just
right.
a sort of a carryover effect. But then on top of that, you do your specialized neck training, and you also add those shrugs in, and, you know, then you'll see some upper body development, trap development, shoulder girdle development, and neck development that'll really, you know, carry you on to the next level.
Tie it all together, right. How frequently should you hit your neck, you think?
I like twice a week. You know, some people will go three times a week. I think if you do it, you know, with good intensity and you're doing the other exercises I've described, the basic compound exercises for all-around strength and development, you know, I think twice a week is perfectly fine. If you want to do neck only and then shrugs only in a different workout, that would be okay, although personally I like to do them both on the same day. I think they tie together a lot. You can go heavy one day and lighter another day, you know, and do whatever you want. But definitely at least once a week for your neck and traps, and probably more often than that.
Any caveats? I know that you have to be careful of certain things when training the neck. Even if the motion seems natural, clicking should be, if you're doing something that's making a clicking sound, like in your neck, you feel like there's a clicking sound going on, you should really abandon the movement, correct?
Yeah, that's very true. And you know, at that point, you should go to a medical person and, you know, get someone to look at it. Now, in that regard, I mean, you know, if you have an existing neck problem, if you have an existing shoulder problem, if you have tingling in the arms, if you have anything that, you know, might be some kind of nerve issue in your spinal column or emanating from your spinal column, you want to get that checked out. You want to talk to a medical professional and say, you know, I want to start training my neck and traps. Can I do it safely? And, you know, get approval. And don't, you know, don't get online and, you know, go to a discussion board somewhere and say, you know, hey, I've got this pain in my neck and it seems to be radiating down into my hands. Is it okay for me to do neck training? And, you know, let some person who has no idea what they're talking about answer the question for you. You don't want to play games with your neck.
Yeah. Yeah. With that being said, and obviously being cautious, mm-hmm. do you think that, and I understand compliance becomes an issue, but do you think that training with the harness allows the body to find its natural path as opposed to training with the machine when training neck?
Boy, that's a good question. I think that if you come from a sports background, if you're an athlete or a former athlete, if you've been doing a lot of lifting and you're very in tune with your body, you know how to position your body for best results when you're doing squats, benches, deadlifts, and other exercises, then you can probably figure it out on your own. Beginners, again, the four-way neck machine is ideal because it limits the range of motion so you don't go too far.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things you want to avoid, and, you know, neck training is funny because there's not been a lot of study on it, and, you know, most people, frankly, don't do it. And so probably, even though the motions are very simple, people probably don't have that much of a, you know, they probably don't have a good idea of what to do and what not to do.
Right.
Now, intuitively, you've got to be concerned with a shear factor on the spinal column, the cervical spine.
Right.
And bending your head far forward or far back against a heavy load may not be a good idea, particularly for older trainees, and definitely for anyone who's ever had any kind of a neck problem. So there are some people who definitely want more of a limited range of movement, and there are some people who teach a limited range of movement, you know, maybe as little as one quarter to one third of your maximum range of movement. That's all they want you to do to stress the neck under a load.
Right, right.
And, you know, go ahead.
No, no, no. I was going to say, we have to take a break. What I want to do when we come back is I want to address the wrestler's bridge, because okay. it's an important exercise that eliminates, really, a lot of the issues related to motion, correct?
It eliminates motion largely. You usually do a static bridge.
Exactly. And I want to talk about that, because a lot of very strong necks have been built without weights and without machines, just using body weight and the wrestler's bridge. We're talking with Brooks Kubik. We're going to be talking more about training your neck for protecting the brain, protecting the skull, and the cervical spine. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food, and Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your Miracle Noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from True Protein. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low, low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to, is 6-Oxo progesterone. 6-Oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to ironmaglabs.com today.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Oh,
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Okay. Something that needs to be discussed when we talk about training your neck has great value. It has been the cornerstone of neck training for many, many superior athletes in Greco-Roman wrestling, and that is the wrestler's bridge, appropriately called. Now, how do you do the wrestler's bridge? You do it only for the back of the neck? Can you do it for the front of the neck as well?
You can do it both ways. You, the standard back bridge has you with your weight on your feet and on the top of the head or the back of the head. That's the back bridge, body in an arch, chest up. That's the back bridge. The front bridge is done with the weight on the balls of the feet, body forward facing down, bent. You're sort of like in the downward dog position,
right,
in yoga.
Right.
Except you're not, your weight is not on your hands, the weight to the front, instead is on your forehead.
Right.
Yeah, and you know, it can be top of head, forehead, but basically, you know, it's really sort of right where the forehead.
Do you have to put like a towel down, the towel down, you know, between you and the floor? I mean, your forehead and the floor?
Well, I learned to do them on a wrestling mat.
Okay.
If you're not doing them on a wrestling mat, and by the way, you can buy used sections of wrestling mat, a quarter mat or a half mat, for not very much money. And put it into a gym or a training facility or your garage or wherever you train, and you've got a perfect place to do not only bridging but other bodyweight exercises. I've got a half a wrestling mat out in the garage, and I've got the other half down in the basement where Trudy has one of her many workout areas. If you don't have a wrestling mat, you definitely need a folded towel or some other kind of padding. I mean, you know, otherwise... if you don't have a super hard head, this starts to hurt real quickly. The wrestler's bridge, Carl, is an interesting exercise because the best way to do it is not moving, but rather simply holding the position
right
for time. And, you know, people say, well, how long? Well, the answer is when you're just starting out, probably only 10 or 15 seconds. Then you work up to 30 seconds. Then you work up to 1 minute. And eventually you get to the point where you can hold a wrestler's bridge or a front bridge for, you know, say 3 minutes. And from there, work up to doing, you know, three sets, five sets of 2 or 3 minutes per set. You know, if you can do that, then you've got a pretty strong neck.
And how do you do it back? How do you do it for the back of your neck? That makes perfect sense for the front of your neck, but with the, you know, the downward facing dog type esque movement. But how do you do it for the back of your neck? Do you have to lay down and then contract and lift your upper body off of the ground?
Well, if you can do a reverse push up or come anywhere near doing a reverse push up, you do a reverse push up, and as you do it, you roll up onto the top of the head, and then very carefully loosen up your hands so that more weight is on your head. In other words, your neck is carrying the brunt of the load. And if you're able to, just release your hands completely. You may have to do it through a series of progressions. You know, yet there, you know, one series of progressions actually has people learning the movement, bending backwards over a Swiss ball.
I was just going to say, what about putting your legs up on a bench or a Swiss ball? That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
Well, if you put your legs up on a bench or a Swiss ball, you actually put more weight on your neck, so it's actually harder.
Uh-huh.
But what you do is you use a ball under the back so that you get that natural arch. The wrestler's bridge is an arched position. It's hips high, you know, feet flat, hips high, and then head flat. So your body is in a reverse arch.
Right.
Now, it's important to note, I learned the wrestler's bridge when I was high school. Actually, it was earlier than that, when I was a junior high wrestler. And, you know, at that age, you're pretty much made out of India rubber.
Yeah.
You stretch, you're nice and flexible, you don't have a lot of dings and dents. The wrestler's bridge is a really good exercise for young athletes. For older athletes, it can pose problems. And, you know, if you've ever had any kind of neck problems, again, you probably want your doctor to clear you before you try bridging. some people just can't do it. They end up actually irritating the neck, irritating, they end up with the kind of problems you get that, you know, send you off to a chiropractor to get an adjustment. It's for some, you know, and it depends on your body structure, on your age, on your training experience, on how much of an arch you do, and, you know, if you're doing the movement with a coach who's taught it to you, or whether you're trying to learn it on your own. But it's one of those things where you want to be careful. And, it, you know, if it does hurt, you know, obviously don't do it. There are other ways to work the neck.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, speaking of which, very simple exercise, and this is one for, you know, all the coaches out there who train athletes, if you don't have access to a four-way neck machine, the poor man's version is manual resistance. Train the neck four ways, pushing against resistance provided by someone else's hands.
That's a good one. Yeah,
yeah. And that used to be standard practice for football players and wrestlers when I was a kid. You'd do your neck exercises four different ways. One guy would kneel down, another guy would stand above him and push down on his head, and then cup the hands and hold them under the forehead to work the front of the neck. You know, push against the side, and you know your hands, the hands and arms of an athlete are always going to be stronger than an athlete's neck.
Right.
So you're always able to control the resistance that way, and the guy providing the resistance is always stronger, so he can do exactly the right amount of resistance. Obviously, you don't want to shove someone's head through the floor. That's ridiculous. You want to provide slow, balanced resistance. But manual resistance looks a little bit strange. You know, you're looking at these guys and saying, you know, what are they doing?
Yeah, right.
You know, but it's really extremely effective.
Yeah. Yeah, and obviously anything you do at this point in time, if you're not doing anything for your neck, anything you do is going to pay off with a thicker, stronger neck, which can only help you. It really can only help you.
Brooks, it's good stuff to be doing.
Yeah. Brooks, go ahead and plug. Let's talk a little bit about the book. The book is getting a lot of positive reviews. More and more people are looking to body weight training as an adjunct, as an interim step, as something they can do when they can't get to the gym. But the way you design the system, you really can produce some dramatic results. Lots of good feedback so far on the Dinosaur Bodyweight Training book, right?
We've been getting great feedback. People really like it. And, you know, one interesting thing is it's written just exactly like an old-time training course. It's very enthusiastic, very motivational, very inspirational. There's a lot of material in there to get you really pumped up and you know, want to train. And so we cover that. That's a, you know, a very unique aspect of the course. But the other thing is the exercises go from pretty simple to extremely advanced, extremely difficult. And, you know, Carl, as I was telling you before the show, it's not your standard body weight training where you just do high reps. It's body weight training that is similar to heavyweight training. You know, I do lots of sets of low to medium reps of really difficult exercises.
Right.
And, you know, you can call it body weight training, or you can call it weight training using the weight of your body for maximum resistance. I don't care what you call it, but it's extremely effective.
Right.
And the book's been doing great. People just love it. We've almost sold out, and I need to order more books. In fact, you know, I may have to order them right after the show. I'll go down and check the website and see how many orders came in.
There you go.
Yeah.
Listen, Brooks, it's always a pleasure to have you on, man.
Carl, my pleasure, and have fun with Randy in the next hour.
Yeah, it's going to be a good interview. Thanks a lot, Brooks.
Okay, take care.
So go to BrooksCubic, KUBIK.com, to learn more about bodyweight training dinosaur style. When we come back, we're going to have Randy Roach on, talking about Volume 2 of Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors, an amazing book. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. All
All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both the Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on the Blueprint forum to ensure your success.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
Finally, a time-released energy tablet. No more shots or drinks filled with sugar. Atomic Tabs are here. Atomic Tabs are the only time-released high-energy chewable tablet available anywhere. Atomic Tabs have as much caffeine as a cup of coffee, combined with energy and focus-enhancing ingredients that will give you a long-lasting wave of energy with no jitters or crash. Energy comes on in 5 minutes after you chew it. Go to AtomicTabs.com, be one of the first 10,000 people to sign the mailing list, and get a free sample of Atomic Tabs. Go to AtomicTabs.com today. Chew your energy. Regardless of your goals, longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness, you'll find what you're looking for at USCellWellness.com. USL Wellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formulas are backed by a team of nutrition researchers, healthcare professionals, medical doctors, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at USCellWellness.com. Save 20% off your first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
You create misery, have your cake and eat it, take your place in history.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio.
Don't repeat it, call it fate, call
my next
fate.
Guest is actually one of my first guests on the show many, many years ago, back in early 2006. He's actually been a mentor of mine. For so many reasons. It's not just his writings and his knowledge of physical culture and nutrition, but just as a human being. Randy Roach. How you doing, Randy?
Pretty good, Carl.
Amazing, amazing work that you turn out, first of all. What always amazes me, Randy, is that the way we speak, especially with you, and the way you write, are very, very different. Your writing style is so, it's so intoxicating. It keeps you involved. You don't want to put the book down. And that's a lot to say about the subject matter when you really think about it, because how many people really are going to get enthralled in a book about the histories, the origin of physical culture? But the way you lay it out, it reads like a mystery novel. I have to be honest with you. It's fantastic.
I don't know. I'm not a public speaker. Like I always said, I can express myself better writing than I actually can verbally. I've always been like, you were the first radio show that I ever did. You remember how nervous
I was? You were so nervous. I was just going to say, yeah, right, exactly.
Because I didn't even like listening to my voice on a tape recorder. You know, I was always shy that way. But I could, for some reason, I could express my thoughts better if I sat down and wrote them out.
Yeah.
So it comes across better that way.
Now, first of all, this book, I thought Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors, Volume 1 was a big book. This book actually is even bigger than that, isn't it?
Yeah, I was told, because I can't see the read the page numbers, the publisher told me 728, but I was just informed it's 703. So I think I had put out there that was 728 pages, but that's not right.
I think it's 728 including the, I think if you include all of the supporting pages, you know.
Okay,
What do I want to say? The reference pages and so on. Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. It is. It's 703 exactly, all the way down to the reference page. But it's an amazing book. First of all, the book is so elegant. You would be proud to leave this on your coffee table. It's really a beautiful book. I love the composition of the book, the black with the gold print. And the black and white photos, which is reminiscent of the Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors, the first one. But this one has two key figures on it, and that is Arthur Jones and Arnold Schwarzenegger. Why these two guys?
I thought they were basically exemplified with the epitome of the 1970s iron game. Arnold, you can't argue. Both these men have their detractors and the people who love them. It doesn't matter what you think of them. They were the two prominent characters of the 1970s, Arnold with his persona and pumping iron, and Arthur Jones with his Nautilus machines. Like I said, I don't care if you like Nautilus machines or not. You can't take away from the fact that Arthur just exploded on the scene. He had everybody interested, at least interested in what he was saying, and his machines just proliferated all through not just the fitness industry, but in the strength coaching and all the different realms that were opening up in the rehabilitation. You know, by the 1980s, you know, anybody who looked at a machine, regardless of who made it, they say, oh, you got a Nautilus machine. That's the impact he made. And Arnold's Arnold. Look at him. I mean, he was all through pumping iron, and he was the big-name bodybuilder.
Did you not tell me that Arnold read this yet?
No, the first volume was hand delivered to him by John Bailick, but Arnold does not have this book yet.
Okay, I think that he'll like it. Frankly, I mean, you portray him very.
I portray him fairly. I'm sure if Arnold, you know, Arnold, he likes the everything his way.
Right.
But I mean, he'll look at it and say, well, I might not agree with the way he put it. But with everybody gunning for him, I think my book's kind of like a refuge for him.
Yeah.
I don't go after him personally. I just put him in the context of 1970s bodybuilding. And that's where I think he probably longs for that era right now.
And you know what? And I think that you even juxtapose lots of different people's recollections of the facts at that point in time so that the reader can kind of choose for themselves what rendition they want to believe. Like, for instance, the notion that Arnold was using drugs at the age of 14 while someone had said that. You also show some other points of view and then you give your own point of view in this particular case.
Yeah.
You kind of weigh in and say, you know, you find it hard to believe at 14.
13, right. I thought, you know, especially back in the early 1960s, I thought Marnell and the other fellow, they had to be totally irresponsible to be sitting with a 13-year-old kid with anabolic steroids. But they do say, at least at the age of 15, I thought by the 1964 at 17, you can see Arnold, yeah, he's starting to get bigger. Definitely, you know, from the mid-60s on, that's when most of the guys are really starting to engage them, and they were really proliferating out. They were all through the colleges and everything at that time, and over across the Atlantic, this side of the Atlantic, everything.
Now, at the very, very beginning of the book, I want to say the first chapter maybe, and I'm trying to go back and remember, you mentioned the atmosphere in Columbus, Ohio, when the mainstream media was picking up what would be, you know, some of the earliest bodybuilding events to be televised. And you happened to mention Vasily Alexeyev had just pressed 500 pounds in that. Do you remember that passage that you wrote about?
Oh, that was a crucial event for many, many reasons. Number one, that was when Alexeyev first put 500 pounds over his head in an official meet. Also, that's why Sergio was there. He went there. He did not go there to compete against Arnold. He went there to watch Alexiev do the weightlifting.
Really?
Also, what was this event where you got, after all these years of battling between Weider and Hoffman, Hoffman obviously controlling the AAU, you have an AAU event holding a Mr. World, and you got IFBB stars on stage.
Yeah, and that was very interesting, because you talk about in the book how they jettisoned. These guys flew in from one place, and they on the tarmac changed planes to get them into Columbus on time, right?
Yeah, you tell me there's no money in bodybuilding. There is. Some people have some money when you get Lorimer privately jetting Arnold, Franco, Boyer Code, and Dave Draper, and I think somebody else there from New York to Columbus, because the NABA universe overlapped that AAU Mr. World event, and Boyer said they on Sunday when they got there they had to hold up the show to they got there to actually compete. So I thought that was quite an interesting AAU event, that a lot of things transpired that day.
Now, the reason why I invoke the name of Alexeyev is because, as you know, he just passed during the Thanksgiving holiday here at 69 years old.
Yeah, Jeff Everson had emailed me that. I actually, honestly, I thought he was dead. I thought he had passed away before, but I was wrong.
Yeah, no, he just passed. And it's kind of sad. You know, 69 years old is pretty young, but as we talked about during the first half of the show, we mentioned this also, and you know, a lot of these heavyweight guys don't last the test of time for whatever reason.
He was like 330 pounds, 350 pounds, something like that. He's a big guy.
Yeah.
And he carried a lot of it out front.
Yeah, and we talked about that too. I talked about visceral fat. You know, just because you can overhead press 500 pounds does not allow you to turn your nose up on the tenets of health, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That'll catch up with you. We actually have to take our first commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the Weider influence and some of the things that you wrote about. Randy Roach's new book, actually Volume 2, Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors, is by far even better than the first volume. If you read the first volume, you have to get the second volume. If you have not read the first volume, you have to buy both of them. These books, I don't care who you are. If you touch a weight, if you adhere to certain nutritional protocols, that can be found in our world of physical culture. This is the Bible. Not reading this book is actually disrespectful when you go into the gym and train, because you must know the origins of what it is that you're doing, so you better understand it. And there's no other book collection out there like Volume 1 and Volume 2 of Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors. By far, one of the greatest contributions to physical culture is Randy's work and putting all this down so that future generations can have it to look for and read and understand. Go to randyroach.ca to get your copy of Muscle, Smoke, and Mirror, Volume 1 and Volume 2. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
City, ever witnessed the excitement stirred by these youngsters in Liverpool? Now tonight, you're going to twice be entertained by them.
Regardless of your goals, longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness, you'll find what you're looking for at USLWellness.com. USL Wellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formulas are backed by a team of nutrition researchers, healthcare professionals, medical doctors, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at USLWellness.com. Save 20% off your first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in Can-See Eye Drops. I've
been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on the Blueprint Forum to ensure your success.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
No two amino acids have been studied more than creatine and beta-alanine, and no two amino acids have been shown to independently improve athletic performance better than creatine and beta-alanine. When you join these two ergogenic powerhouses together, you get unparalleled results. And when you bypass the stomach and deliver them right to the bloodstream, you get the best single legal performance-enhancing product bar none. Save 50% off your initial order by using the coupon code CB50. That's CB50. Go to ageforce.com today.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking this hour with Randy Roach, author of Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors. This book should be a must-read for anybody who's going to become a personal trainer. I'll tell you some. They should have this ISSA. All those organizations should make this part of the required reading, or at least in the colleges and universities where they teach these types of strength and conditioning courses and so on. It's a great book. It's an amazing book.
Jeff Everson was kind enough to say that as well.
Did he really?
Yeah, he said as a historical overview.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's, you know what, we, every day, those of us who go into the gym and we train and we say, oh, it's like a religion, you know, oh, it's like my religion, I love to train. But how can it be a religion if you can't relegate back to its origins, understand why you go through the motions you go through today, to understand the origins of this sort of stuff? It really is amazing. I can't tell you how much, more meaning it gives to what we do day in and day out to understand.
Did you actually like Volume 2 better than Volume 1?
Well, I don't know that I... No, yes and no. I think Volume 1 taught me more about nutrition and the emerging supplement industry and what drove it than Volume 2 did. But Volume 2 kind of made me understand that what those sprouting seeds in Volume 1 led to. You know, which takes me to the Weeders influence, you know.
Yeah.
Have you heard anything? You know, obviously Joe Weider recently published his autobiography, correct?
Brothers of Iron was back in 2006, I believe.
Okay, okay. Did you hear anything from the Weider camp? Has anyone gotten a copy of this Volume 2?
Sean Perrine of Muscle and Fitness is going to review it. Sean was good to me in Flex. Like I said to Sean, I don't portray or I don't paint the same picture historically as the Weiders have. And that's obvious because, you know, the Weiders have painted their own history, and that was evident in their own book. Sean's friends with the Weiders, but he understands, and he actually reviewed Volume 1 and put it in Flex. I was surprised to see that. And he's open-minded, and he's going to review Volume 2 for Muscle and Fitness.
I don't think that you were harsh with the Weeders.
I don't go after the Weeders personally, but you know how the Weeders portray themselves. I don't paint the same historical picture as they do.
Right.
It's a matter of they're man enough. Joe, if he even reads it, Joe's pretty old right now. Like, yeah. I mean, I don't have anything against these guys. Like, I mean, but, I mean, it's if he's willing to look honestly at this is more accurately what has happened, that you did not create the entire industry on your own. And same with Arnold. Yes, Arnold's on the cover. But when you read the story, you'll see how Arnold fits in and who were the people who helped him. Gaines and Butler were significant in what they did with Pumping Iron.
Yeah.
You know, Katz, Corny, these are all other characters that were around in the 1970s. And would Arnold be as big why he's so big is because he went on to become into the movies, and that's why he's so popular. But within the industry, you know, Bill Pearl, Steve Reeves, they were enormous names as well. And so I just want people to see that there's a lot of players that are taking, then a lot of activities going, a lot of catalytic players. Look at Ken Sprague, probably, like I call him probably the most catalytic figure to ever be in the game, especially in the 1970s.
Why do you say that? Why?
What he did. He literally, look at the Weeders needed amateur bodybuilding.
Right.
The professional ring was kind of a joke. Look at the Mr. Olympia twice was uncontested, one entry, 1968, 1971. The Nava universe had far more prestige to it. The Weeders needed amateur bodybuilding, and they didn't have that as long as the AAU was in control of it, and Bob Hoffman. Sprague changed that. Right. And I'm not going to say on the radio what he actually did. I want people to actually get the book and read it, because what he did was unbelievable in terms of his tactical savvy, I would say, and his guile. What he did to take Gold's Gym, raise Gold's Gym into the bodybuilding media, and then at the same time, very significant in transitioning power of amateur bodybuilding from York to Weider. And that's what gave Weeders that bodybuilding economy, that base that brought him into the early 1980s when the smoke cleared, the fitness boom was exploding. The Weeders now had control. And Joe and Ben, you know, I'll give them credit for what they have done. They tried cultivating it for many decades, but timing was significant. The players behind the scenes were significant. And D'Amelio was going to become another significant, what I call mechanic, in the 80s and 90s. But all these players came in to bring Ben and Joe and help them come in. Oscar State, look what Oscar did. Well, Ben actually acknowledged Oscar in Brothers of Iron. But what I did not like about Brothers of Iron is that in their painted history, there was nothing about Emmanuel Orlik, who was significant at the beginning stages of the IFBB. And there was nothing. Wayne D'Amelio did not exist, which is absolutely ludicrous, since what he did in terms of building a professional bodybuilding. You talk to any of the pro bodybuilders of the 80s, and they'll tell you who built pro bodybuilding. And Ken, don't mention Ken Sprague. You know.
You think that's simply because they didn't want to share the limelight? Was that and give credit to anybody else?
Because these guys, like Joe, it's Joe Weeder this. Joe Weeder's Mr. Olympia.
Right.
Joe Weeder's champions. Joe Weeder's a trainer champions. Jeff Everson, who's a friend. Look, a lot of these guys really like Joe personally.
Right.
Business-wise, like even Jeff said, he wanted to stop Joe from using that trainer of champions since 1936. He said, it's hurting you. What I try to portray in this volume is bodybuilding struggling for an identity. Are you a sport? Are you a pageant? Or are you a bloody circus? Because even Arnold didn't like it. He took those shots at Joe in Sports Illustrated in 1974. Talking about Joe, basically portraying bodybuilding in a cartoon image.
Right.
That's how the magazines, they're targeting at a 14-year-old, you know, bombing and blitzing and all the women hanging off you. But Arnold, even though I said Arnold was much more of a serious athlete than he was, say, in the bodybuilding for physical culture for his health.
Right.
But he was a serious athlete, and that's why he came back to promote bodybuilding and try to bring money into the game. I give Arnold a lot of credit for that, because he held to his word, came back with Lorimer. At the same time, D'Amelio was just a young guy coming in, getting started. D'Amelio is a huge character in the third volume, and you're going to see a relationship with him and Ben that's just going to make you shake your head.
Really?
And what could have been, again, in this book, I have a case, Sarah, Sarah, a chapter that showed what could have happened, what Arthur Jones could have had. But in Chapter 3, there's another situation that could have happened in the same way, but that's, like I said, that's down the line. But these guys, it's the bodybuilding was, well, they couldn't decide what they wanted. You know, they made a lot of money. Ben and Joe made a lot of money portraying it as a cartoon. But as a sport then, they kind of had to shake off. And Gaines and Butler came in and tried to repaint it as an art, sport and art. And amidst that backdrop and amidst the decades-long stereotyping of homosexuality and all the other things that they portray with body shaving and stuff like that, so it's actually quite the craft, isn't it? When you look at it with all the things surrounding it, and people just want to build muscles and look good and be strong, but look at all the baggage that's around it.
Yeah, I agree. I thought one of the things I found interesting was I've always known that Reg Park had influence on Arnold when he was young. I didn't realize the influence he had not only on Arnold as an athlete, but Arnold kind of looked at Reg's lifestyle, his family life and his businesses, and he said, I want to be like that. He didn't just say, I want to be a bodybuilder like that. He said, I want to have all these businesses. I want to have the family life. I want to have the children. I want to have all the things that Reg Park had. And he really did model himself after Reg early on, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, but what he liked about Reg was Reg portrayed and had enjoyed a luxurious lifestyle. He had servants. He had the swimming pool.
Right.
Arnold liked that, and Arnold talked about politics. And what I found, continuing on that theme, what George Butler told me, and I said, come on, George. He told me this is true, that after that Arnold, I think they did that that little exhibition at the museum to raise money for pumping iron.
Right.
George was riding in the car with Candace Bergen. He was working for the Today Show at the time. And Candace said, okay, Arnold's had his 15 minutes of fame. And George said, look, Arnold's going to be governor of California. And Candace says, yeah, right. And Ronald Reagan's going to be the president of the United States. I said, come on, George. That
oh,
really
my
happened?
God.
He said, yeah, well, I wrote that. That's in chapter 5.
I don't know how I got past that. That's amazing.
Are you skimming my book, Carl?
No. I'm not skimming your book.
Yeah, I thought that was quite uncanny.
Yeah, that
but
is
he said,
funny.
No, that's what she said.
So there was another very funny story early on in the book also when Arnold was young, and I thought it was really quite telling. He really did have a larger-than-life attitude about himself and the way he used to torment the other bodybuilders when he was competing with them. He started those mind games early on.
But
the one with the whiskey.
That was funny. I had a contact, Les Benlove, because he shared that story on Iron Age. That's where I first got it. And I couldn't help but laugh just the way Les wrote it. And so I tracked him down, and I got to speak with him, and he goes, I don't know why anybody else didn't see that. Somebody else had to see that. Now, Michael Payne over in England is a friend of mine, and he's been a good help and supporter. He said he does recall a show where Arnold something was off. He was either looking, he was sleeping on stage or whatever, but I said, was it the 68 Universe in London? He said, I can't remember exactly, but it sounds like it was that show that Arnold might have been having.
But was it true that bodybuilders would take a couple swigs of whiskey to make their increase vasculature, or was that something that they did to play a joke on Arnold?
No, Don Howarth drank a flask of wine in 67 before his Mr. America because, you know, it makes you flush.
Yeah.
Some people, if you're not a big drinker and you have it, you'll get flush.
Right.
And bring the vascularity out. So, no, it was something Freddie was really doing. And Arnold thought he would indulge.
Arnold just went a little too far with it, I guess.
that was funny.
All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to start to talk about Nautilus's influence. We're talking with Randy Roach about his second volume of Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors. Fantastic book. You must buy this book. Go to randyroach.ca. I promise you, you will be forever changed if you read the Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors series. We'll be right back. Don't bring on the sunshine. Don't bring on the moonlight. Don't bring on the good times.
Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today. AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead. No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechano Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner add today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Company.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest this hour, Randy Roach. We're talking about Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors, Volume 2.
You think Arthur Jones's greatest influence was making physical culture more attainable by the masses through his Nautilus machines?
I don't know if he was made it more attainable, that some might argue, but Arthur had an impact that basically he, in some aspects, he was correct, in some aspects it can be argued that he wasn't. And his machines, his early machines are vastly different from his later machines, but he was telling people you're training way too much, which was Gironda was trying to tell people that also.
But right.
Jones came in with as egregious as Vince could be. Jones came in even louder, and he basically almost annexed Iron Man, and he got his message out there loud and clear, and he was it was more through notoriety because he wasn't polite in his manner. Like he saw the way he was very he was very belligerent,
abrupt, yeah.
And he was basically like I said, telling the industry they are too stupid to realize that they were stupid, and that they're doing everything wrong, and this and they just need to cut things back. And he was talking about now attacking. He attacked everything from supplements to the training methodologies, and to an extent, the barbell. Even though, but he still thought the barbell was great as compared to any of its predecessors. But he started to explain and introduce, in some way he was complicating things because he was introducing foot-pounds, torques, strength curves, resistance curves, and omnidirect, you know, all these terms that some of them weren't even real, you know. Mm-hmm. But he was showing that why how the body works in an axial rotary motion, and the barbell was had linear with gravity, and his machines were going to change all that. And everybody was curious. He caught everybody's attention, even his detractors. He caught their attention. And everybody wanted to at least investigate, poke around, sniff around, look under the hood to see what Jones was up to. And he broke out of the bodybuilding community and into strength coaching and into rehabilitation.
Right.
These were fields he really wanted to be more so than bodybuilding. Kim Wood said that Arthur had lost interest in bodybuilding probably by the end of 71 already. And you can see that in his names. He never, you know, Nautilus, you know, industries, medical. And,
they're medical. I was going to say medical industry terminology.
Of course, it has nothing to do with bodybuilding. And yeah. Arthur Jones Productions even before that. So everybody wanted a piece of, like, I mean, Sports Illustrated now started looking at him, and later on every major magazine, like by the time the 80s came, he was everywhere. And he started to, by that time, get distracted and get into other things and sound studios and private zoos and not just airplanes, but private airport and a young wife. And he got distracted in what he could have had. He could have had much more. He could have run the whole industry if he really wanted to focus there.
But obviously he didn't want to. He really didn't have. I don't think he had the respect for the industry as it was.
No, he didn't have respect for a whole lot of things. Not very few people had respect for. Like my editor George said, this guy, you know, he's an amazing guy, but he has all the symptoms of ADHD or Asperger's. You know, if he was clinically diagnosed today, he would probably be diagnosed as having Asperger's or ADHD or something like that. Because he had all the attributes. You know, he just couldn't hold his attention. You know, he'd switch here and there, but he was brilliant. You know, and. Like Lawrence Larry Evans, who was one of his engineers, and a number of Ellington Darden, and say that Arthur could really fast calculate in his head and had a geometric pattern of thinking. He wouldn't be right down to detail, but he could visualize things with what he wanted and get other people to put it down in detail. Gary Jones, Gary Jones was significant in the early days too in making those camps.
Do you're aware of the new physique category within the NPC, correct?
Is that the sub 200 or the 202 pounds? Or
No. There's a new category. Actually
men's physique.
Men's physique and women's bikini.
Yeah, because they want to get some guys who look more like the earlier bodybuilders.
And that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, because these guys today, nobody can identify with them. I don't mean any slant against the guys. You know, they're just guys doing what. You know, I was talking to some. I won't mention. Who, but one of the prominent stars of the 70s who said, you know, had they transplanted the 21st century technology back to the 40s and 50s, the guys would have went for it. They wanted their athletes. He said he doesn't believe that the mindset of the athletes or the morality of the athlete has devolved or evolved. It was that they took what they could at that time for an advantage, and the guys today are taking what they can today.
And they adapt to whatever the norm is at the time. In other words, if the norm is for a 400-pound athlete in a particular sports discipline, everybody wants to be a 400-pound athlete. Nobody's going to go. You know, it's whatever the method du jour that's occurring. So obviously they would have adapted to it back then. But I think that there is a return to the Renaissance. The Renaissance bodybuilder is coming back.
There's a big reason for this. I can probably sum it up with Wayne D'Amelio, who's probably the best promoter to ever be in the game. was that good-looking people sell, and these bodybuilders, their bodies aren't marketable. Nobody, not even the publishers, are find them appealing, and there's no marketability for them outside of that little niche market where they are. Where back in the 70s and the early 80s, those guys were marketable. You had the Mr. Olympia.
Well,
on
look at how many of them made it into the sword and sandal movies, as you point out early on in the book too. I mean, these guys were very marketable. They were. They were in mainstream movie theaters.
Yeah, and like I said, you could watch Mr. Olympia on ABC, NBC, or CBS. You know, where you don't see that anymore.
And the last of that was Conan. I mean, when you really think about it, Conan the Barbarian. I mean, Arnold still had a to a great degree a physique that many people felt that with a modicum of dedication was attainable for somebody who was willing to put in the effort. It wasn't to the point where when you look now and you go, not only do I have to put in the effort, but I have to be willing to really play Russian roulette with my health because I have to I have this polypharmacy protocol that I have to adhere to in order to reach that level.
Yeah, to try to put some of the viewers, to give them some perspective here, Arnold was probably between 6'1 and 6'2 in his heyday, and he competed about 225, 230, and he looked phenomenal. He was huge, and to most people, he was unattainable. Now, you compare it to Jay Cutler, who's like, what, 5'9"? What,
right.
He just win the Olympia at 286?
Right.
Like, do the math there. Like, I mean, the biggest mistake the IFBB did was when they threw a symmetry out the window. And because these guys, they're just chunks, and they don't have the same look. they're using GH, IGF-1, and insulin, and a lot of like refined carbs to blow their muscles out. So they don't have that deep muscle separation. They're ripped and lean, but they don't have that deep muscle separation that you saw back in the day when the muscles weren't so blown out.
Well, there also something else has changed, in my humble opinion, and I'm far from someone who should be commenting on this, but leg size has dramatically altered the bodybuilder of yesteryear and today. When you look at Arnold, even when you look at Sergio had really big upper legs, okay?
Yeah.
But even at that, his upper legs were still made him look like a manta ray. It was a continuous taper from his lats down to his hips, from his hips down to his ankles. There was a continuous evidence of tapering. And nowadays, when you look at bodybuilders today, their upper legs are just so big that they're more like hourglasses instead of manta rays. And I think that leg development, due to the emphasis on leg development combined with the higher amount of anabolic steroids, has altered the appeal of the physique to a certain degree.
Did you see that picture of Sergio on Chapter 2 there?
Yeah.
That's that classic shot from Essen, Germany, 1972.
I know. And I don't see how Arnold could beat him, to be honest.
It stands a test. Well, Arnold said he should have won. Arnold said, Arnold said, I had been a judge,
right,
I would have voted for Sergio. But
right.
He said, unfortunately for Sergio, Arnold wasn't judging that day.
Right.
And it was a panel of other, obviously, biased judges.
Right, right.
Judging was always the crux of the problem.
Yeah, but I mean, and I think part of Sergio's problem also, correct me if I'm wrong, I think you wrote about it in the book as well, but he kind of had bowed legs, which really didn't look as, again, he started to have that lower leg emphasis, if you will, not because of the development, but also because his legs were so bowed. Am I wrong about that?
I didn't mention anything about his bowed legs. Sometimes his arms were criticized for not having shape. Like they didn't have peaks on them. They're just big, you know,
balloons.
Arthur Jones said there's, Sergio's arms are the biggest that he'd ever measured, and they're the only arms that he ever measured over 20 inches. Arnold and everybody else, and nobody came over 20 inches.
Really?
Yeah, but, you know, Arthur measured with a steel tape, or he'd get a thin piece of paper, measure it to a steel tape, and then put it around. Cold arms, nobody but Sergio just went over 20 inches. Arnold was about 19 and three quarters. I think Casey was around.
But see, here we go again. look at how appealing Arnold's physique was, because he focused on chest, shoulders, back development, and then gradually, you know, very, very small hips. He could do a vacuum pose. We didn't have that distended stomach yet. When it tapered into very small hips, his leg development was fantastic, but it wasn't what it is today. So he had that illusion that his upper body was so much more massive than it really was, that when you tell somebody, well, you know, he was only 225 pounds, they go, how could that be?
Yeah, because like I said, they didn't carry the a lot of extra water weight that these guys are carrying today as well, and that was still a very it was still a very very lean 225, and he exploded on stage. Like maybe those poses, like I said, when you watch those guys from the 60s and 70s, when they posed, they exploded. Now I haven't been able to visually see the competitions for the past several years, but I did see some of the ones in the late 90s and early 2000s, and I did not find the guys impressive to watch because I didn't think when they moved and posed, nothing really changed much.
Right.
As compared to when I first saw Arnold and even Draper would do a bicep shot, it did not up. Right, and go out, everything. I was thinking, wow, you see all this stuff moving and dancing around. It's like
it's a metamorphosis right before your eyes. That's the magic of it. When you see when you see someone, and right before your eyes, they change, and then you go, oh my gosh, that's amazing. And you're right. Nowadays, it doesn't happen.
On behalf of today's bodybuilders, they would be just as impressive, maybe even more impressive than those guys from the 70s, because we got to remember a lot more of the gene pool going, and guys like Ronnie Cole and Cutter. I'd like to see them if they were just doing what Arnold and Sergio were doing in the 70s. I think they'd be more impressive to watch than what they are now. So it's not like these bodies are, these athletes are no good. These athletes are probably great. It's what they're taking that's making them morph into, okay, well, I'm really not interested in watching that.
Yeah.
And they're not marketable, like you said. That's so
And that's why this whole physique / bikini thing is really gaining a lot of ground. We have to take our last commercial break. When we come back, I want to find out if anything, when you were doing this volume 2, anything actually just jumped out and shocked you when you learned about it. We're talking with Randy Roach. The volume 2 of Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors is now available. Go to randyroach.ca to learn more. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power block, the world's best dumbbell.
Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw: the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age 4 Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to, is 6-oxoprogesterone. 6-Oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to ironmaglabs.com today.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food. And Miracle Noodle tastes great. So So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your Miracle Noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Mark McPhee continues to be assaulted by the California Department of Food and Agriculture. They continue to recall organic pasture raw milk products, even though all tests of the actual milk that the children drank who got sick has shown that the organic pasture's milk did not have any E. coli in it whatsoever. I'm asking my listeners to send emails to the two individuals I'm going to list here in a moment. The first one is Steve Lyle, L-Y-L-E. His email address is S-L-Y-L-E at cdflikefarmalikeapple.ca.gov. And the other person is Anita Gore, and her email address is Anita, A-N-I-T-A dot Gore, G-O-R-E, at cdph.ca.gov. These are the individuals who are responsible for a continued recall on safe-to-drink milk just because it's raw. These people are obviously in the pockets of the big milk producers. So we need to email them and ask them, why have you pulled organic pastures milk products from the shelves even though the tests confirm no presence of E. coli? What is your real agenda? Please email them today. We have to get to the bottom of this. This is yet another assault on raw milk in California, a state that's in financial trouble and obviously susceptible to payola. Okay, Randy, this book took you how long? This volume took you how long to write?
I don't know, because it overlapped. I was writing aspects of that book 5 years ago.
So does that mean you're already working on Volume 3 in your research for Volume 2?
I'm not doing anything right now.
Okay, so you're going
to 55%, but 55% of Volume 3 is done.
Really?
Because the 80s were supposed to be part of Volume 2. Remember I told you it was
right.
The 70s and the 80s, the glory years? But Arthur Jones, I dug deep. There's some things about Arthur. There's a lot about Arthur in there. And there's a lot of stuff in Arthur in there because no other reason than I wanted it in there. There are things I wanted to poke into. I always did for years. And I went through a lot of the legal documentation to get transcripts and everything to get what was going on between him and Universal and the United States Olympic Committee and the battle over the who started the computerized exercise equipment. And he took up a lot of room, but I like my favorite chapters, I think, are amongst the Arthur Jones story. Every time I read over that, I get pulled back into it again.
So what do you think you were most amazed about when you were writing this volume two? Was there anything in it that you were even surprised at?
What Sprague did surprised me.
Paul Bragg, you mean?
No, Ken Sprague.
Oh, Ken Sprague. I'm sorry.
What he did surprised me. Well, you know, one of the amazing things that popped out. Arthur's work led right into the whole argument of sports specific training. I have a chapter called Sports Specific. In that chapter, do you remember that little section I got, Summit on Ice?
Yes.
Okay, I was just emailing Jeff Everson how that came to bear. I originally didn't know if I was going to put that or not, but I thought it was very interesting because Canada, Team Canada, for your listeners, that was 1972, the Summit on Ice was when Team Canada played Russia.
Right.
For the series, the hockey series of the century. And at that time, it was a good example of both sports-specific training because up here, we were joking that the only thing Canada did was cut back on their beer. So it was June. It was June, I think, of 2008 when I just released Volume 1. I had gone back to writing again. And I was sitting there wondering, should I put this in the book? Now, I'm not exaggerating anything here. Okay, hockey's over. It's a Saturday night. I was frustrated because I wish somebody would drop by, because I have a documentary called The Summit on Ice, and I wanted to listen to it, but I couldn't see to find it. So I thought, oh, well, I just have to wait. I'm just going to sit back. I'm going to turn the TV on. I usually watch American channels. I turn it to a Canadian channel. Honestly, as I turned the TV on and turned to that channel, it was just in time to hear, ladies and gentlemen, Team Canada, 1972. And then the actor playing, I think Phil Esposito, turned to the other one and said, let's go get a beer.
Oh, my God.
Holy crap. I had just tuned in to a new four-hour miniseries played back-to-back on a series I had never seen before. I said, well, if that's not a sign that I got to put this
right
in, I'm not waiting for the next one to get hammered to come from the sky. So I put it in. And I think it's a great – it's not definitive, but it's a great analogy of this whole argument of sports-specific training.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. So now you're taking off for a while.
Yeah, I just when I asked you earlier that you like Volume 2, I was happy to hear that, because I was stressed out a couple of weeks, about two or three weeks ago. Two prominent characters in the industry told me Volume 1, in their opinion, was by far the best book ever written in the industry. And as nice as that is to hear, it stressed me, because I'm just releasing Volume 2 thinking, can it stack
It's
up?
A totally different book.
It's the same book, eh?
It is, but you know what it is? It's like watching a seedling grow, and it's green and fleshy and soft, and then you come back, you know, 10 years later, and it's hard bark and tree. It's still the same thing,
yeah.
but it changes. It changes into, you know, it's almost like it's a momentum takes effect and something else comes from it. So where you started has led to this point here. A lot of the players are still in it, Gironda and so on,
yeah,
but their roles have changed now. Their roles have changed.
That's why I had that second prologue, which I said it might be dry to some readers, but it was necessary to recap the characters and organizations that were going to carry on. Yeah, I read over Volume 1 Saturday night and Sunday again, and I thought, wow, I don't want to have to go back and rewrite that thing. But it's different. It's 200 years. It's a broad scope, where Volume 2 comes down with a real focus on the 1970s.
Yes.
Because so it was such a different era. It was a totally different era. The whole world was changing in terms of politics and sports business and sports politics. And like I said, Arthur was right in the midst of that, and he wouldn't take any crap from anybody, right? And he carved through it. He just carved through that industry. And I even emailed Ellington Darden when I was still finishing the book, and I just had to say, you know, it sounds like you guys had quite a ride. And he emailed back, you could just feel the sincerity in his email. He goes, yeah, it was. And he goes, you know, I miss him. I miss him, meaning Arthur, right?
Right.
So because it was a great era for all involved in bodybuilding, because it was finally getting its day in the sun. And there were so many things happening in there. And it was, you know, Arthur could be frustrating, but at the same time, he was very exciting to be around.
Right.
You know, because he was making things happen. He was jumping all over the place. And all these different industries he was getting into, and these guys were just there at the right time in the right place to either benefit from it or whatever. But it was, I just felt that, man, I lived back in the 1970s for the past 5 years, right? And you start to get wrapped up in it. But now I got to shift to the 80s and 90s and beyond. I really need to do this in one more volume. I do not want any more than one more volume. It's too much.
Like, how long will you take off now before you start focusing on the next volume?
I'm thinking about it, so I got to start. It's going to be at least 2 years. I thought if I work really hard, I can maybe get out next year, but I'm not putting that pressure on myself again. It's relentless, because the last 5 months have been from July 1st, it was all day, every day, trying to get it out, and it was stressful going through the publication. There's some typos in there that weren't supposed to be in there. There's some that we didn't even put in there. We're going to fix those, and getting them to deal with the index. So the index was too big. The book was too big. They broke some sentences, but that we can't fix because it'll affect the page numbering.
Right.
And so, oh, geez, there's no way I can focus on writing the other one right now.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you. You got to take some time off and just enjoy. So now the book is available at your website. Is it available anyplace else?
Yeah, I think most of the people are getting it through Amazon. And so I don't think the picture of it's on Amazon, but it's – it's my website directs them to Author House,
right?
Because I don't have any. They sent me a couple up, but I'm autographed copies are going to be available through Tomas Sachs in Toronto. because I do not want to be involved in selling a book.
Right.
I tried to do that. I did a bit of that for Canadian. Back 4 years ago, our dollar was terrible. Shipping from the United States was terrible. Anybody in Canada trying to buy the book almost had to mortgage their house. So I took it. I tried to help in that fashion, but I think Tomas is going to do all that now.
You know, I'm just looking at the lineup here. The top eight shows on a Superhuman Radio website, and raw food as effective as anabolic steroids in building muscle. It's number four. It's always in the top five.
Yeah.
How is Josh Trentine doing?
I was just down in Cleveland. Boyer Co. came up to Cleveland. We wanted you to come to Cleveland.
Yeah, I couldn't.
But it was fun, and Josh had showed off his equipment, his new Renex line. The amount of detail in this equipment is unbelievable. Like, I mean, to get the friction out of these machines. And Josh is now trying to trim off some of the body fat, see what he's got. And he's probably going to get in some really good shape, take some photos for his business.
So do you think that Josh will be an influence in the future with his stepping into the machine game here?
Sure. If you know, anything's possible. Like, even Boyer Co's getting back in the machine business, and it's the machines again. That's the whole argument about machines now with this functional training. It's almost, machines are almost like blasphemy to have a machine in your gym. But you know what? Everything comes full circle. And the amount of effort that they put into the technology is impressive, you know, even with the computer interfaces. But just to get these stacks floating and to get the friction out of there, it's impressive. Machines are expensive, but, I mean, again, everything today is expensive, and it's all relative.
Yeah.
So time will tell. Time will tell to see what happens there, but I think Josh is, in the meantime, going to get himself in photograph shape and for his company.
Yeah, that'd be great. Now, will you do a book tour? I mean, a lot of authors do book tours. They travel around and sign autographs and stuff. You, have you thought about that at all?
I get rid of the thought real quick when it comes in my head. Everybody tells me, I said, yeah, 25 years ago, yeah, I had no argument. You had to do it. You don't have to do it today. Maybe you still do to a bit, but I hate traveling. It is so stressful for me traveling because I'm out of my element. I'm guided. I needed to be guided around as a blind guy. I get my food specific to me here. I really wouldn't want to do that.
Yeah.
I went to Cleveland to go see Josh. Josh has been up here all the time. I've never been down there. I wanted to support him in his convention, and I wanted to meet Boyer. Boyer and I have hooked up finally because we've become very good friends.
And was it fun to, I mean, does it change the dynamic when you meet somebody versus, because you and I have had a relationship over the phone for so many years, and Elisa was mentioning that. She's like, you know, you there are so many people that I've come to know and consider friends that I've just never sat down in front of before, and it doesn't change the level of friendship at all. Did it change for you and Boyer when you finally met him?
No, he's as great as ever. I went down there with, three young guys, three young people in their 20s, and they headed off with Boyer. Like I said, you guys, I didn't even want to go out to Saturday night. They went out together and stuff. Boyer still looks only like in his 50s.
Yeah.
And he's in great shape, and he's probably one of the best gentlemen in the industry. He's very well respected, and I was happy to meet him, and it turned out good. And again, even Boyer said to me, he said, you know, you must be frustrated. And I asked him why, because he goes, he was helping me through a restaurant there. And he goes, he was frustrated. And he was thinking, man, Randy must be frustrated. I said, well, in those circumstances, I just go for the ride. But I ended up that I got us the seat, I guess, because the white cane panned out and got us the seat.
Right.
So in a busy restaurant. But I do not like traveling.
Yeah, and I can understand that. You know what? Traveling in general today for anybody, sighted or not, is just a pain in the neck. I mean,
it's not just that I'm sight impaired. I don't tear. So I am using raw butters and things like that for artificial tears, and that's not easily transportable. Like, I used to go all over the place when I could see. Even visually impaired, I'd go all over the place. But with this non-tearing stuff, and it just makes it really, really awkward.
Yeah, no, I can understand that. Anyway, this is a very, very exciting time for you. Volume 2 is out and available. I didn't realize people can get it on Amazon.com. Is there a better price at Amazon versus Author House?
I have no idea. The only reason the price went up is because the publishing, distribution, printing Axis Network decided they were taking 41% of our royalty.
Wow.
Like I said, what was going to be a really good, exciting time has been pretty stressful. Like, I mean, even raising the price of the book, we're still taking a 27% hit.
This is a great book. It's different than Volume 1, completely different than Volume 1, yet it finds its genesis in Volume 1. I'm looking forward to Volume 3, obviously. It's
volume
a fantastic book.
Volume 3
will
be a nice combo of the two. It'll be almost, I can see it now, be a blend, a combination.
Will you bring it all the way up into today?
No, probably be about mid-2000s.
Yeah.
It's the rest of it will just have to be, it's the same thing, and they have to be peeing in the same hole for too long.
Yeah, no, I can understand that. Randy, you have to come back on the show so we can do some shows on now that you have time. You know, I didn't want to bother you because you were deep in this, but
yeah.
Now that you have time, we have to get you back on the air to talk about politics, food politics, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, I was listening to your California deal. Up here in Ontario, Michael Schmidt was just sentenced to 1 year probation, $9,000 fine, but I think he's just going to tell him to shove it.
For what? For raw milk?
Oh, yeah, selling real milk. You know, this one woman from Europe piped in, said they'd have to arrest everybody in Europe just about drinking raw milk. That's all backwards we are, and how we've been led to believe we're this the free country. It's nonsense. Yeah. Canada's this little microcosm of socialist experiment. Like, I mean, we are tied up. But you know what? We had a big milk rally last week right across Canada. Just like people are protesting the Wall Street
nonsense. Right.
And I mean, there's some big rallies and protests going on. And even mainstream media has to cover it. It's because people are fed up. They know that they're basically being governed by criminals.
Yes.
And it's the same thing with the raw milk. It has nothing to do with our health, and everybody knows that. And same like you're saying in California with the E. coli making sick, and people are worried about the kidney stuff.
They actually tested the milk that the children drank.
Yeah.
So in other words, it's not like as though the kids got sick. There was still raw milk in the house. They got the raw milk. They tested it. It had no pathogens in it whatsoever. So the raw milk did not cause, I guess two kids died. It didn't cause that. Actually, they linked it back to something called salsa fresca, something like that.
I know Von der Plantis is very, very highly suspicious of the drugs that they're treating these people with when they're going in under the guise of being E. coli or whatever injured. But it's why is the kidneys? Why are the kidneys failing? And it's more of a reaction to the drugs that they're using.
I don't doubt that at all. I mean, the drugs are killing people. We did a show not too long ago. 1.6 million people a year die from the appropriate use of their pharmaceutical drugs.
I don't think you can get injured by milk unless the farmer specifically sets out to get you.
Yeah,
he's got to do it at his end. And I mean, California is notorious for this. They plaster the scare campaigns on the front page, and they knowing they're lied. And the retractions when it's proven absolutely.
Yeah, they don't even do retractions.
No, or it's on the small little column of the fourth page, and that's what really frustrates people is the damage that they do.
Yeah.
And just because we want to have, they just think we're too stupid. We can't. It's not the case. They're just looking up for the big business.
Hey, Randy, thanks for coming on the show today, man.
Thanks for having me on, Carl.
Congratulations for the release of the second volume.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Hi, right, so there you have it. We also want to thank Brooks Kubik for coming on today and talking about training your neck. You can go to brookskubik.com, learn more about him. And, of course, go to amazon.com or randyroach.ca and get your Volume 2 of Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. We'll see everybody tomorrow with another Superhuman Radio.